Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
I can't picture a goal scorer being a better goal scorer than Ovi. Like, I think the only, like, definitive GOAT right now, greatest of all time, at least era adjusted or over the past 25 years of this century anyway, I think Ovechkin owns that exclusively.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
It's a Maple Leaf game night tonight. Dallas in town tonight. Their only appearance at the ACC, and you can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Puck drop in just over an hour. That means the pregame coming up in about 30 minutes with Jim Taddy and Greg Gilbert live from the ACC.
Just guns blazing.
It's been a while since the boys got on there.
The Tat Man will be on fire tonight.
Yes, he will. And last time the Leafs played this team was in Dallas just before, I believe it was the All-Star break, and they beat them 4-1. They dominated that game. That was one of their four or five most impressive games all year. And Dallas is one of those teams, they're in a playoff spot, they're in a playoff pursuit, but they haven't been, like, lighting the league on fire by any means.
They've been quite top-heavy in looking at them. Like, Sagan's had a great year. It's amazing. Tyler Sagan's had a great year. You just, because of that market, because it's
out west. No one talks about it.
You just don't talk about it.
No.
Radulov has been a really nice signing
for them. He's been worth all the money that they paid him.
And, you know, you hear stories out of Montreal that he took... It was the same deal he signed in Dallas that he was offered in Montreal. But he took, Dallas, you get different players to play with and tax situation. Mm-hmm. There's no.
And maybe
no
he knew
tax.
Something that we didn't know. Maybe he looked at Montreal and was like, honestly, I don't think they're a great team.
Yeah, I'm out. You never know. But either way, he's been good. Like, they've got a team like Ben Bishop finally settled in. Hitchcock, the coach, has been a real difference maker because if you look at their goals against... They're a team that's locked it down for the most part. He had to.
They'll Hitch, still get going.
Oh yeah,
once in a while.
But Hitch had to really work these guys over to a point where Spezza was a healthy scratch. Mm-hmm. Like he's gone with some tough love.
Which you knew that was coming, and
for sure.
And they knew it was coming too. They knew it. Like last year, they were one of the most disappointing teams in the league, Dallas.
Yeah,
and they're a talented team. They got some goaltending. They got some good players. They should be in pursuit of a playoff spot.
Yeah,
so it's a big game for them tonight, coming off a loss in Montreal. And it's big for the Leafs to get going again. And
get into a rhythm.
And as of tonight, you're basically going to play every second night. They got a back-to-back coming up. Dallas tonight, in Buffalo tomorrow, at home against Montreal on Saturday. So three games in four nights. Let's get rocking here. And the playoffs begin in less than a month. So we're going to be teeing up the game for the next half an hour. Then the boys will take over for the pregame. Tim Bezbachenko, the GM of TFC, will join us here in a moment as well. But we had Jerry on.
Yeah.
And Jerry called it in from a resort in Mexico. Kind of mailed it in, quite frankly.
Right.
But we got talking about different things, and we missed out on one final Jerry's percentage.
Okay.
So do you want to hear this one?
Yes, I do.
Mitch Marner will finish the season with 70 or more points this season.
Mitch Marner has been the focal point of the offense for the Leafs ever since Matthews went out. And even before Matthews went out, Marner was starting to really heat up.
Right.
And when he connected with Marleau and Kadri, they had some massive games as a trio. 13 games left for the Leafs. Marner's got 56 points. He would need 14 points in his final 13 games. Jerry is saying he will hit 70.
Ooh. 38%.
38%.
Now they are playing Buffalo a few more times. They've got Montreal. Like
Detroit.
you look at their quality of competition, it's lower. But the fact that Matthews is around the corner, but he's not playing maybe this weekend. I don't know.
Maybe Saturday night. I wouldn't bring him back personally.
But what I'm saying is with Matthews out of the lineup, Marner's on fire, but he gets a lot of attention, so you're circling him instead of circling 34. Like he's been on a torrid pace.
I think
maybe
he keeps
I should go
up.
A bit higher.
I think he will.
But I'm gonna. What did I say? 38.
Yeah, I believe 38.
I'll stick with it. I'm gonna stick with
38.
It's
a good number.
I hope I'm wrong.
No, I mean that's supportive. That we're asking for more than a point a game.
Well, it should
he's
have
never been
50,
a point.
But I just I I. I my logic and my gut tells me that there's going to be he's going to have a couple multiple point nights, but he's also going to have some nights where just can't get it going.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the league. He's not going to score every night.
Right.
But the way he's rolling right now, how comfortable he looks, how confident he looks, I think he's going to do it. I think he'll be a point a game guy.
100%?
Well, I'm not going to say 100%. I'll say 65%. You know, so you got to leave the door open for him to maybe have a couple of off nights, and maybe he ends up with 10 points in his final 13 games.
Right.
But I think he's playing the best we've seen him outside of that first couple of weeks in the league last year. Remember how well he played early in the year?
Yeah.
And listen, he was very good at different times last year, and he was better than maybe we were giving him credit for early in the year, where we were so focused on the numbers. And for the longest time, Marner only had 2 goals.
Yeah.
And you can't help but avoid that. Now he's got 19. He's been on such a torrid pace.
Yeah.
He's scoring so much recently, including goal scoring, where he's got the label of being a playmaker, and he is.
Yeah.
He's more of a playmaker than a pure scorer, but he's proven he can score goals.
Well, to me, if when it the dust settles, he is like a 20-25-50 guy. You know, 25 goals, 50 assists. That's where I think he...
I think so, too.
You know,
that's a 70-75 point guy. Exactly. That's a high-end guy.
The high-end
that's
guy.
What he is.
Yeah.
And he's played that well recently anyway. Yeah. And they need him, right? Like, they need him to drive a line because he's not going to play with Matthews, and Matthews can and will drive a line. And if you want to be an upper echelon team, you need more than one line.
Yep. You're going to need him on many different levels. So I think it's good for him to be playing with Nylander too. Like, Nylander is a guy who's been kind of a little hot and cold, and you know, you think of where Marner was in the lineup, where there was times where he was playing with Matt Martin. Now he went up and played with Kadri and Marlowe. Now he's on a line with Hyman and Nylander. It's almost like Babcock is saying, okay, this kid's going, let's see if he can get Nylander to a point where he's contributing night in and night out.
Right. And using Marner to spark Nylander
exactly.
and make him more comfortable in a position he's not comfortable playing
exactly.
right now in the league.
Yeah. You take a little bit of focus off of Nylander as well.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You put him on that line, all of a sudden, if I'm a defensive pairing, okay, you've got two guys that are lethal and a guy who goes and gets the puck really well and works hard to create space for them in Zach Hyman. So I think it's sort of a nice mix there, and that's certainly where the focal point for the Dallas Stars will be tonight.
Well, the Leafs have never closed the door on Nylander being a center in the future. They've never completely opened it. They've never been fully committed to it, and they've never put a timeline on a decision. But I don't see Bozak returning. Next year, if he does, I think he's returning as the fourth line center.
Right.
You know, it would be a 1 or 2 year deal. You're coming in, you're the fourth line center. I think they're going to be in pursuit of a third line centerman next year. Plekanec isn't going to be it.
No.
So Plekanec will walk at the end of it. Bozak is either going to walk or he's coming back in a short term deal at low end money. And I think they'll tell him you're basically playing on the fourth line. You can compete for more minutes, but more than likely you're going to be a fourth liner. I think they're going to be in the business of seeking out a third-line center.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Matthews and Kadri are locked in. That's your 1-2 punch for a long time. Nylander has to be in the cards to an extent. Like, putting a Jerry's percentage on it, I would say it's around 25%.
As far as playing center?
Yes. But I think he's got to be in the conversation. It's not 0% that he never plays center for this team.
No, but...
like, only based on injuries. I'm talking, like, Matthews, Kadri, everyone's healthy, and they commit to him playing up the middle of the ice.
But having the versatility, if one of them get injured, if one of them has inconsistent play, you can push him to center ice. And that's... how many good organizations do you see where they're stacked down the middle, where they're so happy that they push a centerman to the wing? I look at Anaheim, for example. Cogliano's been playing on the wing. Now, he's a really good... there's a guy that maybe the Leafs would circle.
Maybe.
Oh, sorry, he just signed an extension.
I think he's there long-term. But Adam Henrique's there, Kessler's
there,
Getzlaff.
That type of play, down the middle. And Vermette's their fourth-line centerman.
That's
and
what
they push
saying.
Cogliano. So I think they're comfortable with him on the wing. But you've got the versatility. Like, I don't ever see him as a third-line center.
Nylander.
That's too far down in the lineup.
I tend to agree with you. And I like him on the wing. I like him with Matthews.
Right.
But we'll pick back up on this later in the hour. I want to play this clip again.
Yes,
courtesy of Univision last night. This was Jovinko scoring, free kick, second half. This pretty much iced it. This was it. This was the second road goal in their building. It didn't shut the home crowd up. They kept yelling and screaming all night.
Right.
But listen to this call from Univision, a Spanish broadcaster, when the road team scored last night.
No le gusta a Nahuel el acomodo de la barrera. Allá va el disparo. Golazo.
That guy loves Jovinko. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's the GM of TFC, Tim Bezbachenko. Was that a broadcaster, or was you? Was that you last night, Tim?
Yeah, I was about. Thanks for having me, guys. I was about to say, you know, we were watching the game down. We were down in Mexico watching the game, and you could have put a microphone in our suite, and it sounded something similar, just without the accent, right? What a call! And there, you can obviously feel the passion from Univision and the entire kind of sort of country of Mexico last night. The atmosphere was incredible.
Yeah, it felt like it. Like I was watching the game, obviously at home, but. What I was amazed by was when you guys scored and you went up 1-0, they got louder. And then when Jovinko scored, it was like the loudest the building had been, which I think is a sign of great fandom. Like, don't go quiet when your team goes down. Get loud and build up and try to get them back on pace. Did you sense that, Tim?
Absolutely. And that's what the supporters do. And I have to say that our fans and our supporters do the same thing. A couple times when we went down, I remember the Montreal game a couple years ago when we got scored on the road goal in a very similar way right after halftime, and they just got louder. And last night down in Monterrey, they actually cage off their own supporters from their own fans because it gets so crazy there. And with every goal that we scored or they scored, they got louder, and the place was just so loud. It was amazing. It really, that's what, you know, we're trying to do is play in this competition because you get to play in atmospheres like that.
With Tim Bezbachenko, GM of TFC, again, they ended up losing the game last night, tying on aggregate, but winning on road goals. They're off to the semifinal of the Champions League. And, you know, it's been a really good start to this Champions League for MLS teams. You guys are not alone in having success. But historically, the Mexican sides have always won this. They've always dominated. And, you know, there seems to be more of a conversation as to whether or not the gap is closing between the two leagues. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think the gap is certainly closing, and in some ways it has closed. Probably not from sort of top to bottom in each of our leagues, but the league has made a number of sort of initiatives over the last few years to improve our product quality and to make sure that we're competing not just in our, you know, within our league, but regionally in CONCACAF. And we want to be the best league in CONCACAF, and then we want to be competing with the top leagues around the world. And over the years, you know, we haven't had a lot of luck against Mexican teams because we're playing sort of our third, fourth game of the year, and they're playing their, you know, their 12th game of the year. And then we're sort of in our preseason form, and they're not. And so between the product quality gap, the talent, so to speak, that we've been able to close with investing in players, and then just being a little bit more focused about our preparations, we can hopefully continue to beat them, not just in our stadiums, but go down and get a result like we did last night. And for example, if we went down there for preseason, we were down in Mexico City training at altitude for a week in preseason. And in fact, we even scrimmaged Club America, who in all likelihood will be our competition in the next round. They play tonight. And so just, you know, those are the things that we're trying to do over the last couple of years to prepare us for this competition.
We played the goal call from Univision, and the goal by Jovinko was an absolute beauty, but we've become accustomed to that. I mean, him on the spot is just incredible. He's one of the greats around the world. I trust a lot of people that track soccer and football around the world, and Jovinko is renowned for his talents. But it's more than that. I thought he was possessed last night. I thought he played great, specifically in the second half. And ever since he came over here from Europe, he's been a big part of your program. He's, I think, probably been worth every cent he's been paid. It's not my money. But take us through your breakdown and how you would look back on the first couple of years of Jovinko here in Toronto. Has he met expectations, exceeded expectations? Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, he certainly met and exceeded expectations in pretty much every way. I mean, when you go out and spend an international market and find a player who's playing at Juventus, which is one of the top clubs around the world and was on the Italian national team at the time, you're in some ways expecting him to be a difference maker in big games and big moments for them to step up and make plays. And not only has he done that, but I feel like throughout the course of the last few years, he's scored some spectacular goals. I mean, last night, under pressure in an intense environment, sort of a must result, we needed that second away goal to really put the distance between ourselves and Tigres, and he steps up and hits just a cracker of a free kick. So from his personality to his leadership to his ability to step up in key moments, he's been fantastic. And frankly, you know, I think our fans and our league has sort of become accustomed to it and sort of used to his brilliance. And what you saw last night was sort of a league and a broadcaster who isn't used to seeing it. And so I think we got to pinch ourselves sometimes that we're seeing this on a daily basis and remind ourselves that he's going to go down as one of the greats in our league.
With Tim Bezbatchenko, GM of TFC, again, they are off to the semis of the Champions League after playing in Mexico last night against the Tigres, who were the best team in the Mexican League, and you guys were the best team in MLS last year. And the amazing thing about this tournament coinciding with your season is you fly home, and you're going to have to fly to Montreal later in the week. And that's a big rivalry. It's probably the biggest rivalry within your own league. And it's early in the season. You guys didn't get off to the start you wanted to, though, at home against Columbus. You know, how do you juggle this, the excitement of what just happened and what's going on with this tournament or this cup chase, but also making sure that you're prepared for MLS season?
I think the approach we've been taking is sort of the next game is the most important game. And so it's sort of one game at a time mentality. I think we've done a good job of building our roster. So with myself, Greg, Bill, and our whole team of just having the players that are capable of winning in any match environment, whether or not that's down in Tigres or in the Big O against Montreal. So I think we did it last year. There's a point where we had, I believe, it was 6 games in 21 days, and a number of our sort of big hitters, big players were out, and we had a number of guys step up. And you need that over the course of the season. We have 34 games. And then we're going to have, obviously, hopefully more CONCACAF Champions League games, and then we have a Canadian Championship sort of intermixed, which allows us to play for the right to play in CONCACAF. So it's about preparing, it's about staying focused, and then you have great leadership, right, between Greg and then Michael Bradley, I think, is sort of the spokesman of the team and the person that sort of stands up in the locker room and makes sure that the players don't get ahead of themselves. Like last night, I think, I don't know if you're watching, you saw that they didn't really celebrate because they're happy to go on, but we have more to do, and we believe we have every right to be in this competition and beating the reigning champions. It would have been nice if they're on the other side of the bracket, but we played them pretty early in the competition, so we have more good games ahead of us.
Yeah, TSN's Matthew Schinetti was down there in Monterey, and he caught up with Michael Bradley afterwards.
Yeah.
Did you see that, Noodles? Like, Bradley was all business. Like, to the point where I was hoping Schinetti would be like, you realize you're moving on here.
Yeah.
Like, it's all business, but you have to enjoy the moment to an extent, too, don't you, Tim?
Yeah, I think you do, but we also lost the game. And we lost it in a little bit of a frustrating way because it got a little bit of what we call CONCACAF at the end with the handball that, you know, technically hit his hand, but it was pretty close to his body in the natural position, and he was turned away. Like, that seems, it was a strange call, and you get a lot of those calls in this competition, or at least a few of those calls. And so I think our guys were a little bit frustrated that they weren't able to hold it off for the win, and that's just the mentality of our team. But Michael is very good at keeping things in perspective, especially externally, and I'm very sure that he was pleased with the result, but focused on the next match already.
Well, we look forward to seeing where you're going to take this journey, and we'll be tracking you this weekend in Montreal and where you move on from there as well. Congrats on moving on, and as always, we appreciate you doing this for us. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Tim.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Tim Bezbatchenko joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit mapletoyota.ca. Should we hear that call one more time?
Yes,
the Univision Jovinko call.
Like, unreal.
Joe Bowen's one of the greats of all time, and he gets fired up for a Leaf game.
This
and he gets fired up for meaningless goals Like, the Jovinko goal was a meaningful goal. That was going to basically close it out, right. The big tournament. It's a short-lived tournament. Every goal counts. Bonesy will get fired up. Like, if the Leafs are up 5-0 and they score a sixth, he'll yell and scream about it.
But this is not this to is this on level. A
completely
not,
different.
Yeah, not to this level.
Completely different level.
Allá va el disparo. Golazo. Gol, 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 golazo, 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 aso, aso, aso.
That is brilliant. Very obnoxious, but brilliant. I'll
I
give
think
you that.
It's yeah.
It does it seem does. Though again like it's very Spanish, and as I joked about earlier, like what if all of the Spanish viewers, after all these years, we're thinking to themselves, like, can you stop that?
Just knock it off.
Like I don't like
other,
that. Stop doing that.
The other team
that.
Scored. Knock it off.
Yeah, like, we get it. You're excited. But I don't need that every single time there's a goal.
This guy, like, can you imagine him at a restaurant or something? He gets, like, the order comes and he's fired up
just
about
screaming.
It?
Screaming. He wants dry ribs now.
I think it would be awesome. I want that guy, like... You're going away this weekend? I want him on your trip.
I would love this. I'll bet you he's 5'3", 125 pounds.
Yeah.
He's either that or the biggest moose you've ever seen before.
Yeah, he's 350.
And there's no in between.
No.
There's no way he's like 5'11", 185 pounds.
Yeah, it doesn't look like Masters.
No.
Or Schinetti. Like
no.
He's either a tiny man or a monster.
There's two options. time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. NBA point spread. I'm on Orlando, Boston, and Miami tonight. Throw down 20 and you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine, get way into the game. The Tapman and Greg Gilbert up next with the pregame puck drop, Stars Leafs just after 7 p.m. Enjoy that. Enjoy your evenings. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.